Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC Studios, I'm Brian Lehrer. This is my Daily Politics Podcast. It's Wednesday, April 12th. You know, we've mentioned on this show, but we haven't really talked in any detail yet about an American journalist being detained by Russia a couple of weeks ago for the first time since 1986, since the depths of the Cold War, that an American has been detained reporting for a news organization in Russia. Between the Trump indictment and the abortion pill rulings and mass shootings followed by expulsion of the Tennessee lawmakers protesting mass shootings and the wave of anti-trans laws getting passed at the same time, there has been such a crush of urgent-seeming justice stories in this country, we haven't gotten yet to really dig into the plight of 31-year-old Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich. So we will try to rectify that now with Julia Ioffe, founding partner and Washington correspondent for Puck News, a Russia-born U.S.-based journalist herself. Julia writes that there is something uniquely stomach-turning about the arrest of this U.S. citizen of Soviet Jewish extraction. Her article is called The Abduction of Evan Gershkovich. We'll also get Julia's take on the U.S. intelligence document leak that could have implications for the war in Ukraine. Julia, always good to have you on. Welcome back to WNYC.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Brian.
And let me play a clip of Evan Gershkovich to start out, just so our listeners have a sense of him, at least for 30 seconds, as not just an abstraction, but a human being and a journalist. So here is about 30 seconds of him talking last summer on a trip to Siberia.
So when I was in Kazakhstan, I spoke with a lawmaker, and he invoked this Siberian fairy tale. So the story goes that a bear and this chipmunk were friends. One day, this bear was in a really good mood, and it tries to pat the chipmunk on the back, but it still has claws, and it scratched the chipmunk. And that's why chipmunks now have these three stripes on their backs. This parliamentarian's point was that, you know, Kazakhstan will be friends with Russia, but it's still a bear, and they need to watch their backs.
So to correct myself, talking about a trip to Kazakhstan, but a Siberian fairy tale. Evan Gershkovich from a Wall Street Journal post. So Julia, the Russian government says arrested or detained. You say abducted. Why do you use that word?
Because we've seen Russia in the past, just as they have with Brittany Griner, with Paul Whelan, banking prisoners, as Andrei Soldatov, who is a very well-known chronicler and reporter on the Russian security services, on the FSB in particular, has said that they've, like regimes like Iran, for example, Moscow has been purposely taking American citizens into its custody in order to then play a trading game with them. It's basically using them as pawns, as chits, to spring out people they want released from American or Western jails, people who are FSB operatives or GRU operatives, or people like the arms trader Victor Boot, who was exchanged in December for Brittany Griner. Basically, these are not legitimate arrests. These are, again, it's just the banking of hostages, as Soldatov has said.
And it's almost like the clip of Evan Gershkovich talking about Kazakhstan that we just played, where, yeah, in theory, they have this kind of friendly country bilateral relationship, but really, Russia, the bear in that Siberian fantasy he was describing, that analogy, that metaphor, the bear, Russia, is really looking over Kazakhstan's shoulder, and if they do anything wrong, Russia's going to come down on them. It's kind of the same way with Russia and foreign journalists?
Well, I would challenge that, because I don't think there is anything friendly or even anything that could be perceived or mistaken as friendliness. I think Russia has been quite hostile to foreign reporters for a long time. And I think Evan and other American reporters who have been in and out of the country since the war began have been extremely brave. But that country has been a hostile environment for Russian reporters for a very long time. American and foreign journalists were largely spared that because they were protected by their foreign passports. Russia didn't seem to want international incidents resulting from, you know, the imprisonment of a foreign journalist or if any physical harm came to them the way it did to so many of our Russian colleagues. But, you know, they tolerated them at best and used them as window dressing for the rest of the world to say, look, we allow journalists to come in. We allow journalists to come in and report. But after the war broke out, all of those rules were off. It was just a total, it was very clear that their hostility that they had been trying to keep in check was just going to come pouring out now, and that it was only a matter of time until something like what happened to Evan would happen. So I would say that there was no love lost, no friendliness, not even a grudging alliance. They were quite hostile to all reporters from the very beginning.
So Evan Gershkovich must have been courageous in the first place to be a journalist in Russia, reporting on a Russian military contractor, no less, known for killing journalists.
Yes.
So, you know, that's something that a lot of people may not know about Evan Gershkovich beyond the fact that he was apparently detained without any justification. And you quote a really ghoulish comment that Prigozhin made after Gershkovich's arrest. Care to repeat it?
He said, basically, well, I don't know where he is, but if you like, I can check some of the freshly dug graves in my cemeteries and my interrogation cellars for him.
So no need for him to be subtle at all, apparently.
No, he is not. I mean, a man who gifts sledgehammers to people as gifts is not a subtle man. But I do want to say that Evan reporting on Wagner was incredibly important because Wagner was, and from the very beginning of its existence, drafted people from the Russian provinces where people had no work, where people were up to their ears in debt and loans that they had trouble paying back. And he would show up and offer a very tantalizing financial package and recruited these men from very depressed, economically depressed regions, offering their families payouts if their loved one was killed, payouts that often didn't appear. He has recruited tens of thousands of Russian prisoners straight from Russian jails. And again, Wagner has been crucial, very important in the fight for Ukraine. Prigozhin himself has been clearly angling for more political power inside the Russian system. It's an incredibly important story. And the fact that Evan was reporting on it shows just his acumen as a journalist. Like, he knew what the story was, and he went for it despite the risks. And unfortunately, we know what happened after that.
Julia, I see that the Wall Street Journal has put out on the web ways that readers can support Evan Gershkovich on social media. There are various tags and symbols and things you can put on your Twitter feed or whatever. Can that kind of public response matter in a case like this, do you think?
Oh, it's first of all, thank you, Robert, for shouting out the GoFundMe page. And my heart goes out to you. I know it must be incredibly tough for Evan's friends and family right now. As for public attention, it's a very fine and difficult line to walk, because on one hand, you need to keep this person's detention and survival in the news. You need people to talk about it. You need him to be important enough to say, the White House and the State Department to do all that they can to get him out. That kind of public pressure does mean something, because we live in a democracy where public pressure means something. Unfortunately, in Russia, that public pressure just raises the value of the prisoner and makes or allows the Kremlin to ask for increasingly brazen trades or asks for releasing the person that they have abducted and taken hostage, right? So on one hand, the pressure at home is important to keep our government's eye on the ball and to make sure they're not distracted and that they're doing everything they can to bring somebody like Evan or Brittany Griner home. Again, on the other hand, it raises their price. Unfortunately, that is how they see it. With Brittany Griner, all the attention around her is in part what got somebody like Victor Boot out. I mean, Brittany Griner is a professional athlete who had a vape cartridge that she used to medicate, you know, muscle aches and body pains after, you know, that come with being an athlete and putting your body through a lot. And because of all the public outcry and public pressure in the U.S., she was traded in an incredibly lopsided and horrific trade for Victor Boot, who was called the Merchant of Death, who sold arms to that fueled often both sides of really horrific bloody conflicts in Africa and Asia, etc.
And now here we go again.
Yeah, but at the same time, is it good that, you know, Brittany Griner was brought home? Absolutely. Do we want to do everything in our power to bring home Evan and Paul Whelan? Absolutely. It's just a very, very difficult line to walk. And frankly, I don't know how to walk it. I don't know that we have a good solution. It's very hard to game a crazy authoritarian dictatorship that is bent on doing everything in their power to undermine us, to hurt us, etc. It's hard to gain that.
And on how the Biden administration is walking that line, here's a 9-second clip of Biden answering a reporter's question on Gershkovich on March 30th.
What's your message to Russia right now as they're detaining this?
To
whom? To Russia as they're detaining this Wall Street Journal reporter.
Let him go.
March 31st, actually, Joe Biden. On the 30th, his press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, also talked about the case.
This espionage charges are ridiculous. The targeting of American citizens by Russian government is unacceptable. We condemn the detention of Mr. Gershkovich in the strongest terms. We also condemn the Russian government's continued targeting and repression of journalists.
How's the Biden administration doing, or what is the Biden administration doing?
Well, we know that the Biden administration is trying to provide Evan with consular services, which the Russian government has so far denied him. We know that the Biden administration designated Evan as wrongfully detained, which unlocks a lot of government resources and speeds up certain processes in Washington for the government to really, you know, step on the gas in trying to release him. We know that there are conversations happening with Russian counterparts. We know that Secretary of State Antony Blinken spoke about this with Sergey Lavrov, the Russian foreign minister. Unfortunately, at a time like this, when there is almost zero communication between Washington and Moscow, when Moscow is clearly not in the mood to play nice or even make any kind of deal with the U.S. I remember in the early days of the Brittany Griner detention, my sources in the White House telling me they were trying, but that the Russians just didn't care. And they were in no mood to talk, let alone make a deal. They were too angry at the U.S. for uniting the world against them. Hmm. So, again, there's the problem is that, you know, when you have a situation like this, the party that doesn't want it is the one that drives the process. And that party right now is Russia. They are happy to let this play out. I'm sure that they're going to have a trial in secret for Evan, where no press is allowed, where we don't see the evidence against him. And I use evidence very loosely because there is no evidence. This Evan was clearly just doing his job and these charges are bogus. But I know they will try him in secret. They will slap him with an absolutely insane sentence. He now faces 20 years in jail. I'm sure they will give him something very close to that, like, I don't know, 17, 18 years. And then they will maybe start talking. But again, and then they'll ask for something crazy. Like, I know with the Brittany Griner and Victor Boot exchange, the Kremlin said, look, we're only doing one-for-one trades, and if you want Paul Whelan out, you have to give us this FSB operative that's in jail in Germany. And this man killed somebody in a German park, in a Berlin park, in broad daylight at like 2 p.m. in the afternoon, was caught, was sentenced to life in prison in Germany, and they said, get the Germans to hand over the FSB guy and Paul Whelan can go home. Obviously, the U.S. government can't ask another sovereign government to suspend their justice, their judicial process, and just let somebody out because an American citizen is being held, because we wouldn't want somebody to make that ask of us. So they'll make some kind of crazy ask, I'm sure, in the Evan case. And when mm-hmm. the U.S. inevitably balks, they'll say, fine. I mean, we'll just keep him in jail. He's a spy. So unfortunately for Evan, I think this is going to drag out for a long time, and he is going to be in jail in horrific, horrific conditions for a long time.
I want to get a couple of minutes with you on the leaked intelligence documents. You're also writing about that. I see you have an interview on Puck with Senate Intelligence Committee Chairman Mark Warner. Does he have a damage assessment, especially as it relates to the war in Ukraine?
Not when we spoke. We spoke a few hours after he had gotten into his office from the Easter holiday. And it seems that people are still in Washington are still trying to assess the damage. It's still early days and it's hard to say, but it does seem that a lot was compromised in this leak in terms of sources and methods, which is Washington speak for the ways in which American intelligence agencies gather their information. And that allows our adversaries or enemies to shut off those flows of information. Sometimes that means dispensing with the human actors who provide American spies with information. So in some ways it has compromised individual people. It has also, it seems that it is affecting Ukrainian war plans for the spring offensive. We now see that Ukraine is altering its plans for the spring offensive because of what was revealed in the documents. So again, it's still early days, but I think the damage and the impact is going to be massive.
Reporting indicates it leaked out through the social media site Discord, and someone related to, or someone described as a minor British celebrity on Discord who goes by Wow Mao. Does this Wow Mao, W-O-W-M-A-O, with that name, have a connection to or sympathy for the Chinese Communist Party, does anybody think?
I have no idea. We don't know. So, again, there's still so much we don't know, and it would be hard to, I think it would be foolish to speculate until we know.
Julie Yaffe, Washington correspondent and founding partner of Puck News. Thank you, Julie, and thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Brian Lehrer, a Daily Politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.